You're listening to the Big Sports Radio Network with Larry Smith, Mike Kegley, and Brad Sturdy.
Dylan Sins, a good friend of the show, Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette, covering Big Ten basketball, Indiana and Purdue. Want to talk both and some Big Ten hoops as well. Dylan, welcome back. Good to see you.
Absolutely, Larry. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Yeah, absolutely. I think last time we talked was still football, so we're shifting now to basketball. Let's talk a little Purdue right now. We were discussing during the commercial break about just the gauntlet that we knew these teams were going to face, the teams we thought were going to be the leading contenders for Big Ten title at the beginning of the season. And that's happened right now. That loss the other night to Michigan State, three straight losses, but no shame in that. They're all to ranked teams.
Yeah, no, like you talked about the gauntlet, Purdue's in it right now. They played Michigan, Wisconsin, Michigan State all in a row, two of them on the road. They lost all three of them. It's not what you want if you're Purdue. And the bigger problem is that despite the fact that their opponents are very, very good, you can see some of the issues that are going to crop up against even teams that are not as quality, right? Wisconsin shot 72% in the second half against Purdue. Michigan State shot 68% in the second half. They're just not doing a good enough job of staying in front on the perimeter. They're not doing a good enough job of communicating in the ball screen. Matt Painter talked last night about how he did not get them ready to play in terms of defending Michigan State's ball screen actions. And basically, Michigan State just ran the same action over and over and over again, and Purdue never really figured it out. And Matt Painter said, that's on me. He needs to be better. But the players need to be better too. And they did not do a good enough job against Wisconsin, especially of staying in front of their man on the perimeter. They just kept getting in the lane. Same thing with Michigan State. The whole point of their game plan against Michigan State was keep these guys out of the paint. And Michigan State has 42 points in the paint. So there's some issues that Purdue needs to figure out here over the next couple of days.
Yeah, because you've got Indiana coming up next. And listen, they're a team right now with nothing to lose, right? I mean, you know, their coach is stepping down. They're on the outside looking in the NCAA tournament bubble. And it's over in Bloomington. So if you don't get things squared away, Indiana struggled. They still have a lot of talent. This is still the Big Ten. And it could still turn out poorly for Purdue this weekend if they don't take care of those things.
100%. And it's one of those things where they played in West Lafayette and Indiana led that game with about 10 seconds left before Purdue scored the last 6 points in a row to win that one. So Indiana's going to come into this game knowing that we can beat this team, right? We almost did it once. But now we get them at home, and it's going to be basically, this is Indiana's Super Bowl for this season, right? Like, you haven't done what you wanted to do so far this year. As you said, you are on the outside of the NCAA tournament bubble. Looking in, this is the time now. Like, you let games get away against Michigan and UCLA and Maryland and Purdue the first time. If you are going to make any kind of push, it needs to be now. And so they are going to throw everything they have into this game. It should be a really good atmosphere down there in Bloomington. Because Mike Woodson is stepping down, you're not going to have maybe some of the ugliness that you had earlier in the year with the fans being really upset and ornery. So it's just going to be one of those things where it's a really, really good Assembly Hall atmosphere, which is what we saw last week against UCLA, and it should be turned up even higher for this Purdue game, which does feel like a win or go home game for Indiana, the first of several win or go home games for Indiana, quite frankly.
Yeah, now, we know Purdue is going to be head of the NCAA tournament, and they'll be a high seed and one of the teams expected to get to the second weekend and beyond again this year. For Indiana, from your perspective, what went wrong this year? I mean, this is a team that, again, a program that was one of the top spenders in NIL. I mean, reports of, $6-7 million potentially that they spent this year. And yet this never came together. They just, I go back to, they were blown out. I think it was Louisville, which turns out to be a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Blown them out in one of the holiday tournament games somewhere. And it felt like this, the season went downhill from there.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it was in the Bahamas was where that tournament was, and they lost that game by 30, and they were never competitive in it. And Louisville was a brand new team, too. It was like, well, Louisville has all these transfers. Why are they so far ahead of you? And what it is for Indiana, I think that the if you want to point to one thing, it's that the guards never really came together. Like, they tried to flip over the guard rotation from last year, because that was what helped them back last year, was they didn't really have a ball-handling point guard who could really set the offense and guys who could create off the dribble. They went out and thought they got two of those guys, Kanan Carlisle and Miles Rice, guys who were really highly ranked in the transfer portal, guys who they probably had to shell out some pretty good NIL for. And neither of those guys has been a consistent difference maker for the Hoosiers this year. Miles Rice has had his moments where he's been really, really good, but he's also had some times where he's really struggled, turned the ball over, just hasn't had it. Kanan Carlisle, just his jumper is crooked. It just is. And he is a very, very good player, athletic, long, really plays hard, good on defense, who is just unplayable at certain times because he can't shoot from outside of 12 feet with any consistent rhythm. So it's been a problem. Like, he's shooting, I think, 35% from the foul line. So it's one of those things where they thought they had two difference makers at guard that were really going to make everything else work. And those guys have not been the difference makers they thought. And so they're basically kind of running things back, but essentially with Umar Ballo at center instead of Khalil Ware. And I know I like Umar Ballo a lot, but he is not Khalil Ware. So basically you've just kind of taken a step back from even where you were last season, which is frustrating because you really thought you were changing things up. Luke Goody's been good, but outside of that, it's been tough for Indiana.
Yeah, been fun to watch Luke Goody and this his final year and what he's done for that team. He's just got such a nice stroke, the hometown boy, if you will, from right there in Fort Wayne, coming home. You know, is this part of also a video game mentality that I think for fans, not for coaches so much, that you lose a big name like Ware, there's a big sweepstakes to get Ballo, you get him, ooh, we're gonna this, we're gonna that. And you don't understand that if things don't come together, that just doesn't matter. We just talked with one of the Duke beat writers earlier here in the show, and he was talking about how Duke went out and got just three NIL guys. And I think now it's in this era where it's still fairly new. Coaches are trying to figure out, how do they manage this? You need to keep some guys to have a culture, to continue your culture, but you got to bring in different makers too and try to find a way to meld them. And that's kind of the new challenge.
Yeah, I absolutely think that that's part of it. And I think that Indiana thought they had done that, obviously, with Rice and Carlisle and Ballo. Those are guys you think you can build a team around. But the thing with Indiana was that they didn't turn over the roster entirely. They brought back some pretty significant pieces. Trey Galloway, Mackenzie Mbako, Malik Renew. These are guys who were good for them last year, who they brought back, probably gave them some pretty significant NIL to come back. And you think, okay, these guys can take a leap. Mackenzie Mbako has not taken a leap. He's basically the same player he was last year. Trey Galloway is the same player he was last year. Now, that's to be expected. He's a fifth-year senior. Malik Renew, I think, is a better player than he was last year, but he was hurt during the middle of the season there, especially when they played Illinois. I don't believe he played. And it was one of those things where those guys, in addition to Rice and Carlisle not working out the way they hoped, it was the guys that came back that didn't really take a significant step forward, especially the younger guys in Renew and Mbako, who you thought, okay, they were good last year. Can they be all Big Ten, really up there in the conference this year? And no one really took that huge, I'm an Indiana superstar, I'm leading this team leap. Not any of the returning guys and not any of the new guys. And I think that's been the problem, is that there's no one who's really grabbed the reins and said, on my back, boys, we're going to win this one. And they don't really have that guy. I think they thought Mbako could be that guy. I think they thought Renew could be that guy. I think they thought Ballo or Rice or Carlisle could be that guy at certain times. And none of them has really stepped up in that way.
That's fair. So Indiana making the change at head coach, Woody deciding to step down. A lot of buzz all around the country. Obviously, this is a program that would be a very attractive job for anybody. Who are you hearing that are some of the top candidates?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you're hearing the same list of candidates from basically everyone. Obviously, the top of the list was Brad Stevens. He seems to indicate that he is not interested in that job, as reported by Field of 68. That was the kind of the home run, Hail Mary, maybe kind of thing. No one really thought it was going to happen, but, you know, it dare to dream, right? the more realistic home run, I think, that people have kind of zeroed in on is Dusty May at Michigan. I don't know how much more realistic it is because he is in his first season at Michigan, but he is reportedly working on a new contract that he has not signed yet, to be clear. But he is an Indiana alumnus, was a student manager under Bob Knight in the late 90s, Indiana native. His mother lives in Bloomington, I believe, all of those things. So it is one of those things where he is the guy that you want if you're Indiana. If he says yes, I think you probably sign him immediately. It's just a question of whether he would leave a conference rival after 1 year, especially a conference rival that he has in first place all alone in the Big Ten right now. I mean, he seems happy at Michigan. He has a darn good team there. What would happen? Does he feel like that's something that he can do? Maybe not, right? So then I think the question is on everyone's mind is, okay, if Brad says no, if Dusty says no, then where do you go next? And that's the question that no one really knows. There's been 15, 20 names that you can find out there, but it really is one of those things where no one really knows what's in Scott Dolson's mind right now. We know they want a proven winner from a Power Four conference, more than likely, who is not going to need a whole lot of run-up to get comfortable in this job. But that means you're looking at one of the better coaches in the country. And it's going to be tough to pry any one of those guys away from their current job. It's going to take a buyout of their contract. It's going to take a significant probably pay raise. It's going to take NIL commitments. Everything needs to come together for this. Now, it only takes one guy to say yes, but there's going to be a lot of guys who probably say no because you're looking at that pool of some of the best coaches in the country who are likely comfortable where they are.
Dylan, I threw a name out a week or two ago that I think you have to make this phone call and you have to put a treasure chest of gold in front of him and make him say no, and that's Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
And he's a New York guy. He's got St. John's, you know, not what he wants him to be, but boy, a quick turnaround, as he always does. Next to Bruce Pearl, I mean, Bruce Pearl's another guy. Bruce brings some baggage, but he's not leaving Auburn either. But he just wins. Pitino just wins. And he's won in every conference. ACC, he's won in the SEC. Here's your shot in the Big Ten. I think Pitino in the Big Ten would be amazing.
Yeah, I don't think that that is outside of the realm of possibility either. I think that they probably will at least give him a call. He absolutely is a winner. He's won, like, he turned Iona around in 1 year. He's turned St. John's around in basically a year and a half. And I think St. John's is a place where, and for as much tradition as they have up there in the Big East, Indiana probably could offer him a package interesting enough to him that he would probably think about it. Now, the question is, are you going to break the bank for a guy who's probably only going to be the coach for 4 or 5 years, right? Because he is, I think, 72 years old.
Yes.
And he seems to be like he's not slowing down. That much is clear. But how long can he keep that up for, right? So are you going to really break the bank for a guy who is not going to be a long-term solution? Now, I've heard some interesting ideas where it's like, well, you bring in his son, who is currently doing very well at New Mexico, and his Big Ten head coaching experience in Minnesota, bring him in as kind of a coach in waiting situation, if that's what it takes to get him. That no solid reporting there. It's more just like kind of an idea.
Yeah.
But I would be intrigued by that. Now the question is, does he have too much baggage if you're Rick Pitino, right? Indiana, Scott Dolson has talked repeatedly about wanting to unite the fan base with this hire, right? Is that someone who would be a little bit divisive? I don't know. I think a lot of the fan base would just be like, well, he's a winner and we'll figure out the rest later. Yeah. But is it someone where you would want a safer pick in terms of just a guy who is going to be around for a little bit longer, who has a little bit of a cleaner slate? I don't know. But that's a guy I think would probably listen, quite frankly. And he put it like Jeff Goodman from Field of 68 put him on a list of home run hires for Indiana. That's usually one of those things where a guy's agent is putting the name out there for a reason, you know. Yeah. Yeah. He's not on that list if the agent hasn't said, hey, put him on there, you know, that kind of thing. So I think he would listen. It's just a question of whether Indiana makes that call.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, winning cures everything. So, and Indiana fans like winning, right? So exactly. I want to talk a couple of questions before we let you go. We've talked about Illinois and the struggles over there. What do you guys see from the Hoosier State looking west in this Illini program right now, really struggling? Injuries and illnesses have really taken a toll. Brett Underwood said the other night, in his 38 years, he's never seen anything like this in terms of the sickness running through his locker room.
Yeah, it is one of those things where, I mean, I was ready to put Illinois in the Final Four. When they played in Bloomington in January, they were up by 30 in the first half of that game. And I was like, this is a juggernaut. Like, Indiana didn't play well that night, to be clear. It was really, really poor from Indiana. But that looked like a juggernaut of an Illinois team. The freshman point guard, whose name I can never pronounce and I will not try on this show, he is a stud. He is really, really, really good, and I think might end up being a first-round NBA draft pick at some point. He's awesome. I've been really impressed with the way they were able to flip over the roster from losing so much from that Elite Eight team last year, but it's really kind of fallen apart here for them the last couple of weeks. Obviously, part of that is the sickness. And that's kind of going around right now. It's been a tough flu season for a lot of people, I think. But it is one of those things where you're going to need to figure something out here. And maybe they end up getting an 8 or 9 seed in the NCAA tournament and they scare a 1 seed, but it's not where you thought they would be with as much talent as they have on this team. And at a certain point, it's like, why, kind of like Indiana, why has this not come together in the way that it looked like it could, especially because they played so well early in the season? Not like Indiana, where this thing kind of went, like we talked about with Louisville, kind of went off the rails pretty early. Illinois won some big games early in the year, and they played against Tennessee and were right in that game right to the end. There was every indication this is a very, very good team. And these last couple of weeks, it's like, what is going on here? And so you have to kind of ask those questions as we get into late February.
Yeah, no question. They've got Duke on Saturday, and so maybe they pull off a miracle. We'll see. But Merez Johnson Jr., just a beast at power forward, rebounding. They miss him right now. Again, the rebounding has gone down. we'll see how they finish out. Like you said, they're going to be in the tournament. I mean, it's almost, unless they lose out, I don't see that happening. But yeah, so we'll see what happens here in March. Got about 30 seconds left here. You've seen them all right now. Best team right now in the Big Ten in your mind?
Yeah, I think actually it's kind of a counterintuitive answer. I think it's Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin is a very, very good team. John Tonje, their guard, has scored 30 in back-to-back games against Purdue and against Illinois. They're beating everyone right now. I think they're a better team than Michigan is. I know Michigan is the top of the conference right now. Give me Wisconsin to probably win the league down the stretch here with a little bit of an easier schedule and make a deep run in March. I love the Badgers this year and what they've done.
Yeah, boy, they're old and they're good, right? I mean, you know, age makes a difference here when you're trying to get to, especially this time of year. Hey, Dylan, we'll let you go out of time here. Really appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the games. We'll hopefully see you here at the Big Ten tournament and down the line as well.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. As always, looking forward to it.
All right. Appreciate you, buddy. All right. Dylan Sin, once again, he's with the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette talking a lot of Big Ten hoops right now. Purdue trying to turn things around against Indiana. CBS game this weekend. All right. More to come right here. Stay with us.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-448-0828. 800-448-0828. 800-448-0828. That's 800-448-0828.
Back, Mike Cagley, Brad Sturdy, Larry Smith, Tony Cordero is on the behind the scenes. He's running the board back there. Speaking of running, Mike, we got a race. We got a race coming up. We got Tyreek Hill and Noah Lyles. They're going head to head. Lyles won 109.79, and Hill says he can beat him. Tyreek Hill's really fast, but I don't know. I don't know that football guys beat that. But I think the cool part about this is the winner gets the winner of our race. And I'm pretty sure that our race will be more exciting because our race will include a buffet. Every 10 yards, you must eat a whole plate of food. That's the only way to do this.
And I'll tell you what, we will destroy either one of those gentlemen if that's the rules.
They have no chance
because I can. I've won eating contests. Somebody was like, I can eat a piece of cake quicker than you can. I put a whole piece of cake in my mouth and swallowed. And they're like, did you chew? And I'm like, nope, but we're racing them, weren't we?
Yeah, there's no point chewing. Chewing's overrated. It's just a waste of time.
Exactly.
A waste of energy. It's a waste of energy. A waste of saliva.
I got the full flavor of the cake without any teethy background.
So what do you think about this race? What do you think about their side of the race, you know, which is a little bit different than our side?
I like it. I'm not certain you're going to beat that score no matter who you are. I mean, that time. But I think it's fun. You remember back in the 70s when they used to have the all-star, what do they call it? The all-stars? Because I remember watching Joe Frazier almost drown in the pool when they had the sports stars do it. And then they did the battle of the network stars.
Yeah, they had that too.
People were like killing to be on Farrah Fawcett or Linda Carter's team.
I would have been too, and I was like eight. So I don't know. Battle of the Superstars, yeah. Oh no, it's good stuff. It was fun. I think it's interesting. I think it's just fun. You know, I'm pretty sure that Lyles is going to win, but I do think it's fun. It could be because there's no doubt that Tyreek Hill's really fast though.
Yes.
Now here's the other thing. If they have to run in pads, it could change everything, right? I mean, you have to put – it might be different. If you have to be chased by a 275-pound defensive lineman, also different.
Yes.
Or evade a defensive lineman, you know. So I think there could be a difference there.
Well, you know, the other thing is there are guys like – I always thought that was the key of Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders, I swear as God is my witness, he ran the same speed with pads on that he did when he didn't have pads on. I mean, it was just amazing.
Yeah, Bo Jackson was a sprinter, but man, that dude just run by guys and you know
Daryl Green.
Remember when he
caught Tony Dorsett from behind? I mean, I don't think Tony ever had it happen.
Dorsett was like, "Wait, what is
this?
What
the heck happened?
How did anybody get there?" So yeah, I don't know. You know, at least those guys when they were running, they weren't hit with the can. You know, that's bad too. So how about EJ or Eagles GM Howie Roseman getting hit with a beer can at the parade? What is going on in Philadelphia?
I don't know. The last time I saw somebody get hit with a beer can was down in Carbondale when they still had the Halloween celebration.
Ooh, that was something.
Somebody, one of the bars forgot to put up plywood on their sign and people were throwing loaded beer cans at it. And a guy dressed up as Batman and a guy dressed up as Robin climbed up the ladder to where this sign was. And they said, "Fair Gothamites, don't throw at this sign." And then everybody drunk goes, "Hey, let's throw at Batman and Robin."
But they weren't throwing at the sign. Yes. They weren't throwing at the sign. It was only at Batman and Robin.
After that. So I guess they accomplished something, although Batman fell the last 10 feet when he got hit in the back of the head.
And it can happen to you. So you wonder, I don't know, you know, they were happy. This is a happy Philadelphia crowd. Two people got shot. What would have happened if it was an unhappy crowd? Would like five people get shot and the coach, GM, and, you know, players also get hit with beer cans? How does that work?
I don't know. I don't think any of us want to know. Let's just say in Philadelphia, there's never a thought when they lose of ever having any type of parade or public celebration.
We can have the losing parade is much worse than the one they had in Kansas City. So I don't know. can you imagine that? Well, we have our losing parade to celebrate our season.
The winning parade was just minor scarring.
Hey, speaking of minor scarring, how about that USA Canada hockey game? First of all, they boo the United States national anthem, and then there was three fights in 9 seconds. It was like, let's go.
And they needed to rent out like a few boxing referees to show up and just jump onto the ice to start refereeing the individual events that were going on. I mean, you hear the joke. I went to a hockey game and a boxing match broke out. Well, this was like the Royal Rumble or something.
Yeah, what is that? They were like it was like the Hansen brothers, right? We jump out and we've got that going on.
Hey, never a dull moment at a hockey game.
Oh yeah, I know. That's the only bad thing is when they try and make it so it's like about passing the puck and scoring goals and things like that. I mean, who cares about that stuff?
Exactly.
We want to see guys like people drop the gloves and go.
Yeah, I tell you what, it made for great theater on television, especially when the All-Star game was relatively stodgy for the NBA.
They had an All-Star game?
I think they did.
I didn't turn it on. I watched some highlights of Mac McClung dunking.
That dude can dunk.
He's pretty impressive. You know, he can jump. You know, I still don't know, how do they get the car in there? I mean, like, how do you just randomly, hey, we got a car back here. Let's bring a car in. Is that something that can happen? Do you practice that out in street ball? Like, is that how you do it? Like, you just drive on the, I mean, because you don't, like, at your house, you don't have a court where you drive your car in, right?
And practice. I could literally do a layup over, like, three Hot Wheels.
Well, I couldn't. I'd fall on a Hot Wheel.
And one Matchbox car.
I might finish the shot, but I would still get hurt. So no, nothing good can happen there. So I don't know. It's very intriguing. Yeah. So anyway, this is obviously fights. I mean, you know, it's back to the days of Bob Probert and Tony Twist. It was just going to see who could win the most. So that's what hockey is. It's starting to be exciting again. Let's do it. Let's have these hockey fights. You should have three fights in 9 seconds all game long until somebody wins. So
that would be a very, very tiring game for those hockey players.
Yeah, but very enjoyable for the rest of us.
Yes.
We'll be back right after this.
Everything is expensive right now. Gas, food, you name it. You're spending more, you're making the same or less money. So what do? You rack up credit card debt. That's what you do. It's not your fault. It's the economy. And guess what? If you rack up too much credit card debt like some of us, you can't pay your bills. Then the credit card companies, as nice as they are, start hounding you for money. Then you start your downward spiral. A smart thing for you to do is to call the Zero Debt. They can help you consolidate all your credit card bills into one affordable payment. Millions of people have done it. It works to make you debt-free. Make this free call right now. It costs you nothing to learn more.
800-507-7293. 800-507-7293. 800-507-7293. That's 800-507-7293.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
877-927-3380. 877-927-3380. That's 877-927-3380.
You're listening to the Big Sports Radio Network with Larry Smith, Mike Kegley, and Brad Sturdy.
Welcome back here to the show. Obviously, the Super Bowl gets a little farther back in our rearview mirror, but we certainly want to bring somebody in who knows a little bit about football, a little bit about Super Bowls, a little bit about everything. Rod Woodson is joining us right here on the show. Rod, it's a pleasure. Welcome to the show.
No, I definitely appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Hey, you saw the game. Again, it's been a few days ago now. What were your thoughts? What were your thoughts watching that? And just how the Eagles' defense came through. I know you had to appreciate how they attacked the Chiefs' line and just really kept a great quarterback like Patrick Mahomes on the run all night long.
Yeah, I thought Philly was going to win. I didn't think they were going to dominate them like they did for the most part. But when you go back, and I was telling everybody last week, when you go back and watch Patrick Mahomes, when he struggles against certain teams, it's the teams that can rush four and drop seven. Mm. And because he wants to take some of those shots. And the one thing I really love what Vic Fangio did was that they put hands on 87. Everybody at the line of scrimmage was getting hands on the receivers, which disrupts the timing for Kansas City, really every offense in the National Football League. And it was so kind of, it was comforting to see it again, because I was like, that's what we would have done. We would have put hands on that guy, wouldn't let him get off the line of scrimmage. So I wasn't surprised that the Eagles won, but I was surprised that they were so dominated the way they were, especially with the defensive front. They couldn't block those guys. I mean, that front four, they just couldn't block them. And, Vic, I think he ran one or two blitzes the whole game, and he just really trusts his guys to go get at Patrick Mahomes, and he struggled to find the guys, but he kept struggling because they kept getting hands on 87, the receiving core going down the field. They wouldn't let him get behind them. They kept everything in front of them. It was a great game plan that Philly had for him. And I'm so happy for one of my boys, Darius Slay. I'm so happy that he got his first Super Bowl ring. But then I'm sad for one of my guys for Kansas City, and Jaden Hicks, who's a rookie, didn't get the Super Bowl, but he got there. So, hopefully next year he can get one.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. What's it like when you come to the end of the season? It's such a physical game. You come to the end of the season, and then the highs and lows of that, of the winning. And then, because look, there's no guarantee you can get back there. Now, listen, for both of these franchises, they've been there. I mean, the Eagles, 2 and 3 years. The Chiefs, we know almost every year they're there. Mm-hmm. But it's such a sport. And I think even with Kansas City, and as great as they have been, it's amazing. And I've said this, I give them props, even though they didn't get the three-peat. I give them props just getting there 3 years in a row, because especially today with the salary cap and with injuries and the way the game is, remember when Dan Marino got there in year two, like, oh, the Dolphins are going to, and he never got there again. Right. So what's it like for a player when you get to that point and you get there and then you come away, one, half the team will get the rings, and the other didn't. There's no guarantee you'll ever get to the stage again, no matter what this season was like in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, I played 17 years. I got there three times, won 1, lost 2. The likelihood of you keep going back for Kansas City, it's great because you got Patrick Mahomes. You got 15. He kind of neutralizes some of your weaknesses that you might have. But then when you look at the collective body of work for the Eagles, man, them dudes, they're stacked across the board. And yes, it is hard to keep those guys, right? Especially when quarterbacks are getting so much money nowadays, and you maybe can pay 2 to 3 to 4 guys on your whole football team, or everybody else, you're going to have to start taking bits and pieces of like you're not going to have great players. You're just going to have good players. Mm-hmm. And you just, it's hard to do. So, you know, to see what Kansas City has done, it's amazing. Cause I even go back to when I played where Buffalo Bills went to four straight.
Right.
They didn't win any.
Yeah.
But I keep telling people, you know how hard it is to go to four straight Super Bowls. I know they didn't win any, the wide right multiple years. But what they did and what they accomplished is crazy. And at the end of the year, there's one winner and there's 31 losers.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. Yes, you want to win the Super Bowl. And that's the only way that we can, as players, we want to be the best at what you do collectively. And the only way you can do that is bring that Lombardi Trophy back to the city. Yeah. You know, I won't be surprised if the Eagles are back again next year. Now, I know they got a couple free agents guys that played well for them, but I think they've done a really good job of always replacing those guys. But then Kansas City, I think they have to upgrade their offensive line. I think they have to make sure to establish that run game, and they need a fast breakout receiver, and if they can do that again, obviously they'll be back. I think they got to get that third or the second corner. They got to solidify that position because that second corner was taken advantage of a couple of times against that in that game with Philly.
Yeah. Talking here with the great Rod Woodson, as we're talking a little football and some other things, that's one thing that's kind of what I was alluding to is that I really thought that Kansas City, once the Mahomes massive contract kicked in, they signed him, but it was, going to take place in a couple of years down the road. Once that kicked in, okay, the championships are going to stop. And somehow they've managed to your point, piece this together while paying him that money, planning ahead. But I think, again, it finally did kind of catch up to them. And now, again, in Philadelphia, we'll see what they can do as they try to piece things together at the same time. You mentioned 17 years in the NFL. I've got a friend of mine who played, was a star college player, had a tryout in the NFL, didn't go any further than that. Now in his 60s, and even he has issues where when he was in his late 30s, he had problems getting up out of bed in the mornings. What's that like for a player once the cheering stops and you had to kind of deal with some of the injuries and the stuff that maybe you tried covering up and now it's right there in front of you?
Yeah, I had injuries, but I kind of, I'm a blue collar guy from the Midwest, man, that, the pain is what it is. I don't let it tells me what to do. In 89, after my third year in the league, I had a chondro defect in my left knee, which is a chipping of the cartilage in my left knee. Mm. And in 95, I had the ACL in my right knee. So I do have arthritis in my left knee more so than my right. And for me, I've been very blessed to have people around me to kind of help me guide to finding alternative ways to having pain pills. Mm. And those non-opioid eye therapies that you could have. Mm-hmm. And so I partner with this company called Procera. I take the medicine called Zoretta. Mm-hmm. It's a long-lasting shot in the joints that help you with arthritis. And I tell you what, the first time I took it, it was amazing that I took the shot. The doctor said it's going to take 24 hours for it to kind of kick in. It's like a 35-minute drive on the other side of the city. I'm driving back home in my truck, and I'm like, and I normally can feel my left knee when I haven't bent too long.
Right.
And as I'm driving, I'm like, ooh, shoot, what the heck? And I jumped out my truck, and it felt amazing. It felt so good. That was my first time jogging the following day. Wow. In 10 years.
Wow. Wow. Okay. You
know, I'm an old track guy. So I love being outside. I love being on my feet, being around with my grandkids, being with my dogs. That was my first time going outside and moving really quick again. It's probably not a great idea to do that because you do have arthritis in your joints. But I tell you what, it gave me that feeling that everything's going to be okay. Because my oldest grandson lives with us and I'm dad 2.0. Because my daughter moved back to California. She's an executive chef at a small vineyard out there. He wanted to stay with us. So I'm taking him to all his basketball games. I go to all his practices. We do everything together. So I'm always on my feet with him. And then we have five dogs.
Wow.
And okay. I got to walk my dogs. I got to take them outside. So, and then I got the wife duties, so I got to clean the house when I'm off season and all that stuff. So I've been blessed that I've had friends to show me the way. But then I've been blessed to meet up with a company with Zaretta, and then Procera, the main company, purchased Zaretta several years ago. Okay. And I've been using that product ever since. And it gave me some normality at the end of the day, because we are human.
Yeah.
You know, we can play 17 years. We did a great thing. People seen us on TV. But those issues that hit us as we get older hits all of us. Doesn't matter if you played football or didn't play football. And I found a kind of saving grace for me in the company Zaretta that Procera purchased a couple years ago. And I've been using that for the last 5 years, and it's been a tremendous help for me in moving around and trying to keep off that old age.
Yeah, that was my next question, was how long you've been on this, and what kind of difference has it made for you to take this? Again, like we talked about, I mean, 17 years in the NFL, and that doesn't include college and high school and peewee. I mean, you know, your body took a toll. But to your point, we all get to that point where we hit a certain age where, you know, the body's going to, you're going to have issues. It's just with anything with wear and tear. What kind of difference did that make for you? With the issues you had before with your knees and now what you've experienced afterwards?
Yeah. When I first retired, I was about 37, 38 years old. I was fine. And then over the last couple, since we moved, right before we moved here, I could feel my knee. If I was standing up too long, walking around, doing things, doing items, taking the kids to sporting events, I could feel my left knee really starting to burn. And it hurt. I was kind of stiff. And then I, one of my really good friends, Salma Wilcox, called me up and said, "Hey, I think this might help you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know you don't like taking medicine. You don't like taking pills, but this therapy might help you." And I started taking Zaretta. So I called, Chad Hansen, who was a team doctor here in Vegas. Cause we just moved to Vegas at that same time. Mm-hmm. I called him up. I went to his office. He put the injections in the knee. Like I said earlier, I got out of the office. I'm driving in the car and I could not feel my left knee at all. I mean, it's just, you know, I didn't feel that pain, that aching, that burning sensation that I would normally have. And then when I got out of my truck, I have a big uplifted up truck. I jumped down and I'm like, normally I got to like sit there and stretch like an old man normally has to do because everything has gotten tight over the 15 minutes you're in the car.
Right.
I didn't have to do that. And so I've been a big advocate to all my guys out there to get off the pain pills, get off the opioid medicine. Don't take it. There's alternatives there. You just got to find it. Because I didn't know this medicine existed until Solomon Wilcox called me, one of my buddies. So I'm a huge advocate of, you know, different therapies that are non-opioid therapies.
Yeah. Solomon's a great guy. I've spent some time with him over the years and with his broadcast career. Of course, I knew him when he was a player too with the Bengals. And, you know, he's a guy like you. If Solomon gave me some advice, I would trust it. He's a stand-up guy. And it sounds like the good thing is that you don't have any kind of side effects, any other issues with this medicine.
No, you know, the great thing I love about it, you know, I'm not diabetic, but if you were, the one thing about this medicine is that it stays in your joint. It doesn't go into the blood system, the bloodstream, and it wouldn't affect that. You know, it could be affecting your blood sugar in any capacity. So no side effects. It's been awesome, man. I give everybody I talk to, I go golfing and I'm on the course and some of my buddies and they're like, you can see that they're kind of hobbling around. I'm like, dude, you might want to call, you might want to start taking Zaretta. Yeah. And they have, you know, Sarah has some different medicines. I know that Eddie George, I can't remember exactly the medicine and he the therapy he took with Procera, but he had both of his knees replaced at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Which is the craziest thing, right? Like one at a time.
Right.
But he did both of them at the same time. So he takes a different medicine under Procera, and they have multiple medicines underneath that, underneath Procera and what they own. But I know for me, Zaretta has been a lifesaver for me just to be able to walk around, clean the house, walk with the kids, and go to all these events with my grandson.
Yeah, man, that is awesome. Well, listen, I know you've got a big birthday next month. I'm not going to say which one it is, but it's a big milestone. You got any special plans with your family, your friends?
No, I mean, I'm going to be 60. I'm blessed to be 60, to get to that age. Do I have any plans? No, I don't. I'm not that type of guy, right? I don't plan stuff for myself. Like, I'd rather be here with my family, celebrate it. Everybody sing happy birthday. We'll sing, you know, we'll FaceTime my other daughter in California. She'll say happy birthday. We'll eat our German chocolate cake. That's my favorite cake. We'll eat that.
Okay.
And then I'll start watching some sci-fi movie again on Netflix or something like that. Okay. That'd be my birthday.
There you go. There you go. If you're like me, my kids always, you know, Dad, what do you want? And I'm like, hey, listen, you're my gift. You're my blessing. I'm blessed. And I've got a great life. God got me up this morning and we're going to go make this happen. So, well, listen, an early happy birthday. Happy 60th birthday from all of us.
Appreciate
great talking with you. And we're glad that, that you're pain free with this. And listen, hopefully we'll chat with you again and we'll talk some more football.
Absolutely. Anytime you want to, hit me up.
I certainly will. Appreciate it, my friend. All right. Rod Woods, once again, the great legend, Hall of Famer. And we're thrilled to have him here, Super Bowl champion as well, here on the show to share not just about football, but also some great things about what he's doing there in the medical field, things helping him feel a lot better. All right. Stay with us. This is Big Sports Radio.
Fans of Big Sports Radio and Sports Spectacular podcasts have a new home on the Chief Sports Network. Find your favorite programs and content all in one place by downloading the Chief Sports app in your mobile device. Created in South Carolina, the Chief Sports Network is the home of an expanding network of live and podcast format programming. It is also the home of one of the leading national college football podcasts, JC and Morgan, hosted by ESPN's Mike Morgan and 24/7 Sports' JC Sherbert. Download the Chief Sports app for free and find all of your favorite programming under one easy umbrella. Thanks to all of our markets for your loyal support of Big Sports Radio and our Sports Spectacular podcast. And we look forward to connecting with you anywhere in the world on the Chief Sports app.
You know, it's funny. It seems like we picked football. We were so much better.
Speak for yourself, Larry.
Except for Mike. He's bad all the time.
Somebody has to finish third.
That's true. And Mike's there. He's there to help us out. So set the bar low. Last week was bad in our picks, guys. We were terrible. I mean, Illinois, Michigan was one. I really thought Illinois they were going to come together. Everyone's healthy now. And then you don't play two guys who used to start for you. And then you can't hit shots in the final 8 minutes at all. And not even for the one free throw they had, they missed that one too. So Brad, you mentioned that they were actually -2 in the final 8 minutes because the one basket they made in the timeout, they decided it wasn't a goaltend and they took it off.
Yeah. They took it off the board with the goaltender review. It's like, okay, never mind. Just kidding. Now you have negative. How many points did you score in the last 8 minutes? -2.
Yeah, there's really not much you can say about that because it was just, it was the closest I've come to feeling like the 30-0 that happened against UConn.
Yeah.
And you really shouldn't feel close to that.
Yeah. You know, I wrote about that on IlliniGuys.com. Was not going to mention it here, but yeah, it really was. It just was, you know, you kept looking for, I want to be Apollo Creed's manager. Throw the damn towel. Nobody would throw the towel in. It just kept going and kept going, kept going.
I was trying. I tried to throw a water bottle. It slipped. So I missed.
Throw a chair.
I threw the towel. It hit my TV.
I was trying to fit in. So I threw a water bottle and missed from courtside.
My wife walked through and says, well, how are we doing? I said, you don't want to know. Just go back to reading your book, whatever you were doing. Yeah. So you don't want to talk to me right now. Okay. So those were the picks last week. Brad got the win. Congrats to you, Mr. Sturdy. He's back to Brad the Greek once again. All right, this week, some great games. Now that we get down to the end of the month and we're getting into March, these are really fun matchups. Let's start in the Big 12 right now. Iowa State, #2 in the country at one point, everyone's kind of taking a back seat to Houston, just playing some outstanding basketball. Kelvin Sampson, say what you want, loves his cell phones, loves his Cougars, knows how to coach some basketball. It's Iowa State and Houston in the Big 12. Who do you got?
Houston's coming in, winning five straight. These are two teams both ranked in analytics, as top 10 teams. Iowa State's won four in a row. They're getting healthy. They got back Momcilovic, and that's really helped them because he's a guy can really shoot it from deep. But I just think Houston is going to take this one. I think Houston at home is a really good team, and I think they find a way to get the win over Iowa State.
Two good defensive teams, and I will take the Houston defense over just about anybody if you're talking on a individual night. So I'm going to go with Houston as well.
Yeah, same here. I think that TJ is a great coach for the Cyclones, and I think Iowa State could be a dangerous team in March. But Houston's just playing too well right now. That was an epic game when they got the win over Arizona. I'm going to take the Cougars in this one too. Great matchup. This is a toss-up in the SEC. Tennessee and Texas A&M.
Boy, these are probably, I think Tennessee is the number one defense in the country and A&M is the number five defense in the country. Yeah. So this is going to be one of those, what do they call them? A slobber knocker. It's going to be in the 60s. Teams are going to have a hard time scoring. It's at Texas A&M. And I really think, Texas A&M was really on a roll until they lost. They got drilled at Mississippi State. They had won five in a row. But I just think Tennessee is the team that's going to win this one on the road.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Texas A&M at home. I think they can pull this off. This is a big, big matchup, and Tennessee will have power outages in terms of their offense occasionally.
They do. There's no question. They've had some nights that have really been head scratchers. I think both of these coaches, Buzz and Rick, have done just an outstanding job with these two. The Aggies have come out of really, we didn't know what this, SEC was going to look like, and you hear about, Tennessee and Auburn and Alabama, and you thought Arkansas was going to be there. Instead, it's A&M. It's been up there, and it found themselves in the top 10. Despite that, I'm going to go with the Vols in this one, though I may regret it because they have had their lapses, but we'll see if they can get healthy and get a win on the road. New York, a game we talked about earlier, Illinois and third-ranked Duke, the Blue Devils, thought they're going to get a really good test outside the ACC. They might still. But right now on paper, this looks a little lopsided.
Yeah, the weird part about this is one of their, I think this is still one of their toughest tests.
Yeah.
You look at their schedule, Illinois is going by their net, Illinois like 18th in net. I think that's the toughest opponent they've played since Auburn. So back on December 4th and the third or fourth toughest game of the season for them overall. So it's still a tough game for Duke, but I just think the Blue Devils are too right now. A healthy Illinois team, I might have a different viewpoint, but I think the Blue Devils get this win. I think they're just too much for the Illini.
Yeah, I think the Blue Devils are going to win this. And, of course, when I pick games, it's really more like calling it falling with style.
Well, let's see. Keckley picks Duke. So, hey, Illinois fans.
Illinois fans should be Saturday pumped. Night, they should be pumped.
That's right. They're listening going, hey, guys, listen.
We got a shot.
We got a shot at this. Exactly. So I'm going to take Duke. I would lean closer to Illinois, kind of like what Brad said, if I knew the health status. But we just don't know with the flu bug going through the entire team, who's going to be able to suit up for 40 minutes in this. We just don't. And with Merez Johnson out with the fractured wrist, it's really hard. Illinois right now, as you mentioned earlier in the show, five straight games, they failed to get 40 rebounds. And they're the number two rebounding team in the country, barely behind Alabama right now. Hard to do that if Vesich is less than 100% and Merez is out. That's tough to do. I hope Illinois can pull off the upset, but I'm going with Duke as well. Finally, Purdue, losers of three in a row at Indiana.
Yeah, this Purdue team is not what you'd expect right now. They've kind of gotten on the struggle bus, but I still think Indiana's also had a little struggle here, but it is at Indiana. But I'm going to go with Purdue. I think Purdue gets the win over Indiana. I just don't think the Hoosiers have the shooting to win consistently.
This isn't the Zach Edey Purdue team, but it's still a Purdue team that's good enough to be the big brother of Indiana, and they are going, and Purdue is going to win.
Yeah, Purdue, three straight losses, but all three to ranked teams. I think Indiana will be spirited. They've played a little better basketball since Mike Woodson said he was, going to step down. I think Purdue's too much in this one, and they get the victory. So we'll see how we do. And that brings us to our bittersweet message, as this is the final show for Big Sports Radio. It's been such a pleasure for the past 2.5 years to be here with you every weekend on this station and talking about primarily college sports, but all things sports as well. You can see we're all buddies here. We've had a great time. It just comes a time to transition into something else. And we just want to tell all of our listeners, thanks.
Yeah, it's been a great, you know, great time doing this. We all get along so well, and we love talking, whether it's college football, college basketball, or NBA, major leagues, whatever it is, or even just pizza. So there's nothing wrong with that. So it's been a great, I appreciate everyone for listening. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we really try to be someone who comes into your home and is positive for you for a couple hours, where you can smile and not think about all the weird stuff going on in our world. And if you like what you've heard on this show, at least you can also look for our Illini Guys Sports Spectacular that you can download as a podcast, and you can hear it's still got a lot of Big Ten, but we would love to have you join us over there. And we will be back in the future at some point.
Yeah, we've got that. We've got this show, the Sports IQ show, coming up starting on March 3rd, the Daily Hour show as well. That got the same format in terms of just a lot of great conversation. No screaming, no politics. And look for that as well as the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. All right, so for all of us here, we want to say thanks so much. We appreciate you. And wish you and your family continued blessings, as we will talk to you again very soon. Thanks again.
This has been a presentation of LMBC Sports LLC and Revision Sound. We'll be back next week on Big Sports Radio Network.